And I know that this year we have a theme of transforming.
Yes.
If you understand that, it dictates that you have to move from one place of comfort or place of commonality to a new place.
Yeah.
It dictates that you cannot continue in the same path you've been for a long time or a short time.
Right.
You have to develop something new and come along.
Amen.
And so today I want to talk about inspiring men.
Amen.
They are a rare commodity in the world.
Yeah.
In fact, I think that as men, a lot is said negatively about us.
Yeah.
A lot of stuff is said. But nevertheless, we don't want to react to that and don't need to prove anything, but we can just become disciples as we need to be. Amen? So this evening, as I talk about, the title is called Inspiring Men. And I'm sure you have people that inspire you. Does that make sense? But I don't want to talk about those people. I want to talk about me. I want to talk about you, how we can become inspiring men. And the issue with being inspiring men, it's not what we teach that really counts. And there's a role for that. It's how we live our lives that speaks a great testimony that becomes transformative.
Right.
So it's not that, you know, I go to this church and that's a great place and you need to go to that place, don't get me wrong. But it's your lifestyle that begins to bring transformation to me, to my family, to my children, to your children, to your community, to your wife, to the single people, to the campus people, to the teens that you touch. Because they look at your life.
Yeah. Right.
And you cannot argue with a life. But you can argue with words. You can argue with anything I say to you. You can argue with that. But your life speaks a whole new ballgame of testimony. And that's where inspiration begins. So how do we get then connected to becoming men who can inspire others or inspire one another and touch other lives in the process of us being transformed? So my first point, it starts with your relationship with God. Point number one, it starts with your relationship with God. When we say that, I think we oversimplify or overuse that terminology, relationship with God. Let's try and get into that a little bit more. Let me read John 15 verse 4, the Message version, and then I'll read the NIV version. The Message version says, "Live in me. Make your home in me just as I do in you. In the same way that a branch can't bear grapes by itself, but only by being joined to the vine. You can't bear fruit unless you are joined with me." Now, unless there's a connection between you and God, you cannot transform.
Right.
Here's what we do. We hear this word transform. Okay, I'm going to will myself to 1 hour prayer. I'm going to will myself to fasting and doing all kind of things. And then 6 months later, you can't keep up with what your will was doing. He's talking about a connection. You know, when you have a connection, it's like power. It's ongoing. I just came from Zambia 3 days ago. And I was telling Mike how I used to have power outages of 11 hours, 8 hours. It was unrolling. I never got electricity the whole time. There's some problem with drought. We're having drought right now. And I have to tell him, and Alan and all the elders, if you're going to cut me, try, just give me a call. I think Steve Quayle finally figured. Text what's going on with this guy. Everything else is going on and off. Now we can be like that, like Christians.
Wow.
We're not connected. And the only way to get, the only way you can be found is through text. Which means there's only a very short, very small connection between you and God. And that can be that you come to church on Sunday, and wonderful. Not the only connection you have with God.
Wow.
Beyond that, you have no connection.
Wow. Right.
You don't pray.
Yes.
You don't read.
Come on, Steve.
You don't have real fellowship beyond church time. And what that happens is that you're not connected to the vine.
Right.
You're not connected to God. And the struggle with that is then transformation is such a huge, huge task to take on. And you try and transform. And when I say transformation, we have witnesses, character witnesses, attitude witnesses, things that we settle into that are just hard to overcome.
Yeah.
Some of these things are just, the families that we came from gave us that stuff. Everybody has baggage.
like Southwest says, right? Yeah. And you have to arrive with your baggage, but you want to arrive in heaven with less baggage.
Yeah, right.
And you do that when you're connected to God.
Come on.
And let me ask you a question. How connected are you?
Yourself.
How much do you get in the Word of God in such a way that you're not doing it because I am a Christian, you're doing it because you look forward to connect with God. You hear from Him. You know the way you miss someone, you want to call out, you want to call your wife if you're married, if you want to call your mother if you're not married, you want to call your brother, your buddy if you're single, you just want to reach out to them. How do you relate with God? Is it an obligation or a connection?
Amen.
NIV version, which I'll read, which we all used to, says, "Remain in me and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine." Key word, must remain in the vine. "Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me." It's a huge, for us transform, we must connect with God. Now, to connect with God, you have to connect with God at your station. What are you going through? Connect with God from that station. Connect with God with your challenges. Where are you? We cannot all connect at the same level because we are different levels.
Yeah, right.
So we have to connect with God at that station and begin to figure out, what do I need to hear from God that will help me to jumpstart my life, to get on with it? Because sometimes as men, we can settle in life and rationalize your station, rationalize your life and say, this is me. You can settle with, this is who I am, this is my background. God says, you can bear fruit if you're connected.
Amen.
So you stop being fruitful and stop. And fruit is not just baptizing people. It's your character.
Yeah.
It's your attitude.
Yeah, right.
It's how you love people, how you touch people.
Yeah.
Now that is what then grows and attracts people to Christ, because there's transformation happening.
Yeah.
When that doesn't happen, you have to start checking about, how do you connect with God? And we can talk about prayer too, but that's a message for another day. But it's vital that you really need to ask yourself, when I pray. And for some of us, it is easier to read than to pray. But prayer is harder because it's an emotional connection.
That's right.
And as men, I grew up with a policeman. That was my dad. Crying was not allowed in my house. In our home. You can imagine how that can be. Get in the way of me connecting with God.
Mm-hmm.
It's taken years of walking and getting comfortable with crying. And I think it took a lot of energy to allow my wife to once see me cry. And I said, how can you cry? If you don't know how to cry, you don't know how to laugh, my friend.
Yeah. Wow.
You're stuck somewhere in the system.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard. Because you're collecting stuff. And you get harder and harder. And you get a lot of... And you see crime. It all comes from holding stuff inside. You have to connect with God to allow Him to walk through your life, and transformation begins. We all have to begin somewhere. So, I have a few notes here. Where is your home spiritually? Where do you go when you're struggling?
Do
you go to God? Do you go to Scripture? Do you go to prayer? Do you go to TV? Sit up until midnight? Flipping channels? Because you don't know why you're flipping. You're just trying to run away. You understand what I'm talking about? Or do you keep yourself busy because you cannot take time to reflect and understand what's bothering you? So you just keep yourself busy. You're running away from your shadow, literally. Where do you go? Where's your home spiritually when things are not connecting? Or do you hit the internet? What kind of pictures do you look at? Where do you go when you're struggling? Where is your home spiritually? Do you get angry? Or, you know, you cannot run away from God. You need to connect and understand what that is like. Where do you connect with God? You want to connect with God in Scripture. You want to connect with God in fellowship, in Acts chapter 2. They were devoted to fellowship, to the apostles' teaching. What else were they doing? They were in each other's homes.
Yes.
It's a connection that happened. You follow that? Something was going on in Acts chapter 2. There were connections happening there. They were together. The church was, God was adding to their number. But really the transformation was that they were connected, devoted, in fellowship, in breaking bread. All that was happening. So you have to understand that you cannot connect outside of God. You have to connect with people as well. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's where you start your transformation. Number two, what relationships do you have? Let's talk about a little bit about the fellowship life. What kind of relationships do you have?
And you know, Jesus had many relationships, but he had three close ones. But let's look at 1 Corinthians 11, 17 to 20. And this is the message version I'm reading, so please bear with me. Regarding this next item, I'm not at all pleased. I am getting the picture that when you meet together, it brings out your worst side instead of your best. You hear that? That when they got together, it was bringing out what?
The worst.
Not the best. I hope that's not our Bible talk. I hope that's not our church service. I hope that's not the way we feel. Then it says in verse 18, first I get this report on your, divisiveness, competing with and criticizing each other. I'm reluctant to believe it, but there it is. But sometimes when they were getting together, there was a little bit of competition. You know, one of the things that men can struggle with sometimes is just competing with each other.
Wow.
Yes, we can compete.
So you come to church and you're really looking at Gong New and say, John, how come you listen to him like you have a new shop, right? When did you get that check?
Now, I'm saying it, but maybe you think it. You follow that? Mm-hmm. And you come to church and you notice something that you don't have, discontentment begins to build.
Come on.
And we have all kind of issues that fly around as men because we play territory, we play position. But in the family of God, we're not playing that. We are a family that connects.
That's right.
So what kind of friendship do you have? And when you're not careful with that, it says, bring out the worst side of you and the divisiveness. That begins to develop. How do you develop division? If I have a problem with this brother, for example, why do I have to go talk to him about him?
Right.
Yeah. If I have a problem with him, I need to take Matthew 18 and say, brother, I just want to confirm. When you say this, what did you mean? When you're trying to, okay, I understand that. As opposed to, I don't know how he is. Why can't you go to him? Matthew 18 says, no, we have nothing against you. I just got here 3 days ago. So, what are you building when you get together and talk? Do you talk about people? Do you have the courage as a man to get on with it and go face the guy and say, here's what I'm feeling when this was there? Yeah. And get to hear the other side. Yeah. Sometimes we go with our mindset, you must apologize for because I'm feeling this. You cannot conclude before hearing the other side.
Right. That's right.
You're the man. That's part of being inspiring. Mm.
Amen.
We can come down. Love relationships, that inspiring. Because most men don't have relationships. They either sit together because they do business together, sit together because they play a game together. But beyond that, they don't have deep relationships. And that makes the women insecure. The one that comes in, okay. But where we connect, it's amazing how we civilize society, families, God's church, and other things. When we connect, a lot of things happen. It's hard work because you're not raised like that. But God wants us to be like that.
Amen.
He connects with us. You see how he deals with Adam and Canaan. I mean, deals with Adam and Eve. You see how God is reaching out to them. He's trying to look for a connection from the word go. So he wasn't trying to stand on his own. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So we have to connect. And this is what I mean by divisiveness. Competing. And we can compete for no reason. Position. Wealth. Cars. Who knows? I hope not wives. And we can go on and on.
Okay.
In this culture, I don't think that happens. But competing and criticizing each other.
Mm.
That's why I say you have to talk to the person and don't criticize them. Just talk to them. You know, God created you in his image. I don't know why I'm 5'6", and I don't know why my brother there is maybe 6'4", and I don't know why I have receding hair, and some of you have so much hair. You and I have something in common. That's all right.
Yeah.
We got to take this instead of criticizing each other.
Right.
And understand that diversity is what God wants.
Amen. Amen.
If we don't understand diversity, then you're looking for a clone. The last time I checked, there are not so many. They tried out in London and many other things happened. I'm told about, you know, mad cow disease and the like came out too much. So
I think that what you want to do is to just appreciate what God has given you.
Amen. That's right.
and not criticize out of competition. Just say, thank God, this is who I am.
Good. This is where we must get right, okay?
Amen.
So moving on, it says in 19, the best that can be said for it is that, verse 19, let me take that again. I hope I'm reading this right. The best that can be said for it is that the testing process will bring truth into the open and confirm it. Verse 20, and then I find that you bring your division to worship. You come together, and instead of eating the Lord's Supper, because that was happening, they were busy fighting during worship. You follow that? So don't kill yourself that we worship in church. Maybe if your heart is not right, that's not transformative. We can have a culture that comes to church but is angry. A predisposition of anger, resentment, and just cantankerous. In other words, you're always in a bad mood, bad tempered. Have you seen people like that?
Yeah.
How are you? What's good about today? they're angry. Their voice, everything about them is a little bit like, oh, you got to be careful around that person. That's not healthy. If you're a father, you scare your kids away.
Yeah.
If you're a husband, your wife has to calculate before they ask for anything. That's not healthy. That's not inspiring. That's not transformative.
Right,
if you're single, people are afraid of you. If you're a teen, people are thinking, this guy's temperamental. So think about these things a little bit and ask yourself, what am I doing? So notes here. Do you bring the best out of people?
Right.
Do you bring the best out of people? Or do you put them down? Look for what's wrong with them? Are you competitive, critical, or do you build unity? Thirdly, so for us to be transformed, we must be responsive. So point number three is responsive. If you are looking to be transformed, you have to be responsive. Now, I like cars. Now, there are some cars, there's a lag. When you put down your leg on the accelerator, there's a lag of pickup, right?
Mm-hmm.
Something is wrong with that issues. Mm-hmm. I mean, I was sitting in Mike's car. And he was, you know, he has some miles on that car. And it's silent. It's quite silent. What do you do with this car, man? It's not rubbery. That's nice. I drove it here. Turns well. Do what I need to do with it. And the point I'm trying to put across is this. Are you responsive? Now, let's bring that analogy to God's word. To conscience. When the Spirit prompts you, are you responsive to those things?
Mm-hmm.
When you're prompted by God, do you respond? When you hear the Word of God, do you leave this place and say, you know, I want to work on something this month, this week, this year? Are you responsive? If you're not responsive, you become hard. You start to develop, you're like a car that's not responding to the accelerator. If you driven a manual car, it's an amazing thing to do. Now some of these young guys wonder, what's in a manual car? It's amazing car. Stick. You call it stick here. Yeah, stick. If you drive a stick, it's time to be alive. You feel it. It's the engine. It's nice. Let's see, engage. You know, it's amazing. You feel like, no, we're driving now.
Yeah.
These are the cars. I'm not sure. Anyway, let me not say too much. I may be saying things that make you struggle. Okay, responsive. Acts chapter 2, 37 to 38. When the people heard this, they were cut to their heart and said to Peter and other apostles, brothers, what shall we do? Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sin, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. What happened to these people? They had the message and they responded.
Yeah.
And they responded with questions. What shall we do?
Wow.
You see, for you to transform, you have to ask questions. You cannot transform by being quiet.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot transform by hoping that this goes away.
Mm-hmm.
Transformation is about introspecting, asking questions, taking actions, taking responsibility for your life.
Yeah.
It's up to you. To the extent that you engage and respond to the Word of God, is to the extent that that message will touch you. If you don't, you can, I could preach all I want. Nothing will happen because unless you're responsive to that,
right.
Nothing happens.
Yeah.
You have to be responsive to the Word of God. And most importantly, your private life. Your private life. You know, there's stuff you know about yourself that I don't know.
There is you know yourself that we don't know. only you can deal with that with God.
That's right.
And hopefully God knows, God knows you more than you know yourself.
That's right.
But if you respond to His word, anything can be transformed.
That's right.
Yeah.
So privately, what are you doing? Are you responding? Are you getting to the word of God? That's where the victories begin. What are you studying? I know there's Romans going on. And probably that's not touching you, but what can touch you? Respond and find something that you can connect on and get on with it. So they did. So on this one, so that's just what I want to say, that on that third point, it's vital that we respond to the word of God, and then we'll become alive to life. We'll begin to enjoy what's going on. When you're not responding, it's dull.
Yeah.
It's a dull life when you don't respond.
Yeah.
Have you ever driven a car that accelerator is failing? I had one Mazda 323 there. It was 18 years old when I bought the car.
Oh,
I kept it for like 7 years.
Wow.
Sometimes it's just not responding.
Sometimes.
Sometimes the accelerator would get stuck on the floor. Luckily it was manual, so I would just put it on neutral and lift the engine up and we're good. We'll stop. So where are you? Are you getting stuck on the raves? Are you not even getting anything going on? What's happening here?
Come on.
Ask yourself those questions and sort that out. Okay. What time do we end again? 7:30?
Good.
Are we good? Okay, good. All right. Okay, then. Let's take our time on this. 8:30 in a few minutes. All right. Fourthly, lifestyle. Have a lifestyle that inspires. Have a lifestyle that inspires. What do we mean by that? Look at Acts chapter 5, 13 to 14. It says, no one else dared join them, even though they were highly regarded by the people. Nevertheless, more and more men and women believed in the Lord and were added to their number. Now, 13 says that no one else dared to join them, even though they were highly regarded by the people. Nevertheless, more and more men and women believed the Lord and were added to their number. In other words, lifestyle matters. That their lifestyle was so outstanding, people were not there to join them. Nevertheless, it was so inspiring that others believed and became part.
Come on.
Amen.
Yes, we are saved by the grace of God, but lifestyle matters.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. How you live at home, how you treat the waiters, how you treat other road users, how you treat employers, or people that you work with, colleagues, matters. All this matters.
Yeah.
That is where your faith is shining.
Yeah.
It's not when you're inviting someone to church. No, it's how you're doing it every day, how you treat your neighbor, all those people. That counts. That is what attracts people to Christ. It's not just the fact that we say we are disciples of Christ. Our lifestyle matters.
Mm-hmm.
Our finances. All those things.
Right.
Matter. So it's important to ask yourself this question. Does your lifestyle inspire others? In what areas? Finances. How do you manage that? Are you doing a good job staying within your finances? And if you need to develop another income, you're doing it well. I'm not asking you to be poor. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just asking you to do a good job so that you don't struggle so much. Is your family life, as a man, do you have family life that inspires?
Amen.
That you have God with you, you and your wife, and you with your children. That there's a good order of life. As a minister, church comes not first, comes to my fourth side. It's me with God, me with my wife, me with my children, then I serve the family of God. If I play with that, I'll stop being happy. A healthy person to serve you people.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. No matter what.
Yeah.
So that number needs to be understood well.
Yeah.
As men.
That's right.
It's not a waste of time to sit down with the children and talk through things.
That's right.
It's not a waste of time to sit with your wife or 50 years as we've all been together for 50 years. I don't need to spend time with you. You need to.
Yeah. That's right.
I've just chosen that number because I don't think many of us have hit that number yet.
Mm.
So you want invest in time with your family. If you're single, invest time with each other.
Amen.
If you're in campus, invest time with each other. Mm-hmm. If you're teens, invest time with each other. There's value in connecting to transform.
Amen.
If you try to be on your own, you go crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But when you hang together and talk about things, you really get on with it.
Amen.
How's your parenting, for those of you parenting? I'm working on that. I'm not talking about this stuff because I'm an accomplished guy. I'm actually working on these things. You follow that? I'm working on being a better parent for my young woman. I'm working on being a better husband for my wife. And she even corrected me when I got here the other day. And I said, yeah, I am sorry about that. Sometimes when I ask you about this, your face goes like you're about to go crazy. He said, really? He says, yeah, you need to look at your face when I ask you this kind of questions. And because I'm living with Mike, there's no privacy. He told me in front of my oldest daughter, and I said, yeah. And my mother said, yes, Dad, yeah, sometimes your face goes. I could have swung around and said, yeah, next time don't talk to me in front of the kids. Not really, she's 16. I think she needs to see that. I cannot make the mistakes.
Yeah.
Sometimes we get caught up with the respect to the extent that we refuse to do it. Higher goal of just admitting
right.
to things.
Yeah.
Purity. How is purity going? Your lifestyle with purity, how is that? But how much are we eating the internet stuff?
That's good. Very good.
And we can justify many, many things around that. And as teens, I want to tell you something. The studies show that if you hit pornography, it destroys your brain. Long time. Study even showed that I think at some point, I need to check where this was. Adults that were watching pornography were losing 50% were going to lose their jobs and eventually their wives.
Wow.
Okay. Now that's not spiritual stuff. That's just the world checking out how this thing works. Spiritual stuff is you don't need to know that.
Right. Yeah.
So whatever I said before that was just to explain to you the side effects. I'm trying to explain to you that it ruins love. It ruins what it means to love a woman and reduces them to a piece of meat. A guinea pig. That's not what men, transformative men, are all about. We've got to be beyond that and connect emotionally to these women if you're married. So some of us think it's going to spice our lives. Oh no. What spices your life is your connection, relationship with your wife.
Good.
It's not the stuff you're trying to look into the internet. And I'm telling you, you need to look at it seriously. I have a DVD that talks about all that stuff. Hopefully one day I can show it to you. What's your general predisposition as a person? Mm. Are you a happy person?
Come on.
Or are you an angry person? Are you an angry person? Mm. Why are you angry all the time? Mm. Have you ever figured that out? Do you put people down a lot? What is your predisposition? Are you negative? Do you see all the problems, never the solutions? What is your predisposition? Lifestyle matters. In finishing, I want to read this, and I'm sure this will come through in one of these classes. This is Romans 12, 1 to 2, and again, I'm reading the Message version. So here's what I want you to do. God helping you, take your everyday ordinary life. You're sleeping, you're eating, going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Embrace what God does for you. What God does for you is the best thing you can do for Him. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from inside out, readily recognizing what He wants from you and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings the best out of you, develops well-formed maturity in you. Amen?
Amen.
We have to be intentional about transformation. You cannot transform because that's the theme of the church. You have to be intentional for your life.
Yeah.
And we're not in competition. Figure out what you need to transform and go there.
Amen.
We need to get out of our comfort zone. All right? In finishing, you see, I've been riding with Mike in his good car, his wife's car. And sometimes he would turn the seat on. The warm seat.
Warm it up. It is cold weather. ISIS came from, and I don't know what's that in Fahrenheit, but it's around 80, 70. Mm-hmm. That was the climate I was enjoying.
Right.
And I come here next day, I'm like, this is a freeze, man. So you sit on the car and he turns up the heat. But then you have to stop and get up. Why should we get out of the car? Mike, go do the stuff and I'll come and I'll wait for you. I'll wait for you. Go do the stuff. But unfortunately, I have to go to the DMV and get a driver's license. I have to go and get Social Security. So I have to come out with Mike. But when I'm sitting there, it's a position of, man, I'm just feeling nice. Come. We're going to see Tony. Why do I have to go to Tony's house? Tell Tony to come out. So when you're comfortable, mm-hmm. you don't want to transform.
Mm-hmm.
You want everything to come to you.
Wow.
You don't want to get out and get hit with a cold.
Yeah.
Because as I get hit with a cold, I'm going to get used to it.
Yeah.
And get better. Mm-hmm. But for now, hey, I'm struggling a little bit. We all have to find our corner instead of getting out of the comfort seats.
Come on.
And get in the fray of cold weather.
Man.
And enjoy it like Mike Dad. He's walking around like that. I'm saying something is wrong with him. No, it's me that needs to adjust to the new weather.
Mm-hmm.
And really, when you understand that, then you begin to see what God is doing in your life.
Wow.
You're not in a miserable place. God is walking, is pruning you.
Yeah.
Don't get all morbid and beat yourself down, poor as me. No, open your eyes to what God is doing to your life.
Yeah.
He's transforming you. God bless you.